Hello, and welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast. I'm Herb Warple, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems and host of the show. The cover of Engineered Systems' June issue featured an article titled, Plugged In, New Horizons for Beneficial Electrification in Higher Education. But what exactly is beneficial electrification? How is it best applied? And is it applicable to any of the projects that you're currently working on? We have the answers as we welcome in Leighton Deer, Vice President of Mechanical Engineering, and Peter Dahl, Principal, both of HGA Architects and Engineers, who take a deeper dive into their article and explain what beneficial electrification is as a whole.
Hi, my name is Leighton Deer. I'm a mechanical engineer with HGA.
And hello, I'm Peter Dahl, Engineering Principal with HGA.
Great. Well, guys, your article, Plugged In, New Horizons for Beneficial Electrification in Higher Education, was featured on the cover of Engineered Systems' June issue. So first off, can you take a moment to define the term beneficial electrification? What exactly does that term mean?
Yeah, I'll start with this one. So really, beneficial electrification refers to designing a system that reduces emissions associated with energy consumption for that system, but also reduces the operating costs. So we really want to be careful about not just electrifying and shifting to other systems that may eliminate fossil fuels, but also increase the operating costs. That's what we're trying to be careful with. That's what we're really referring to with beneficial electrification. There has to be more than just the emissions reduction associated with that.
So the idea of beneficial electrification is certainly interesting, but with the positives, there have to be some negatives as well. Can you mention a few of the barriers that are keeping us from adopting this beneficial electrification concept on a wider scale?
That's a great question. We see that there are challenges with the energy efficient beneficial electrification technologies. And those challenges seem to arise many times from just an understanding and a familiarity with those newer technologies, those emerging technologies. So those for those that haven't been necessarily familiar with some of those advances and innovations, there's a fear or a not understanding, and that sometimes translates into skepticism and many times just additional costs with unfamiliarity. So we find that with education, with working through the issues and some of the past expectations and kind of industry expectations about electrified buildings, you can overcome some of those hurdles. But it does take time. It does take some education and a connection, a pulse on those newer technologies that are emerging.
Great. Let's dig a little deeper into the article in which you write, quote, in order to achieve the benefits of a variety of renewable energy technologies, a shared energy platform is needed where energy can be exchanged on the municipal scale to commercial buildings and residential consumers. Tell us about this necessity and the electric grid's role in this.
That is a key point to beneficial electrification, is that electricity is truly, or as we are set up today, electricity is our most flexible energy source for our projects. It is not something that is burned and goes away. We can send electrons all over the place. We can send them backwards and forwards to buildings, away from buildings. And that creates a really common language and a common platform. So as we use technologies of today, energy efficient strategies and renewable energy technologies of today, they can connect to this grid. Whether you're doing it at a local level or at a municipal level, it is really an advantageous method for taking care of current technologies and then emerging new technologies that may be very specialized, that can only occur in very specialized applications. That electricity grid allows you to take those renewable energy opportunities, those sources, those projects, and truly make them almost equitable to all, free, and connecting those energy efficient strategies, those renewable, those fossil fuel free type of strategies, those low carbon strategies, and bring them to all.
But I think, you know, we've seen a lot with net zero buildings. So we've seen a lot with electrification at an individual building scale, but there's also looking at it in the district scale or the community scale or the campus scale, however you'd like to look at that. So a lot of what Leighton was referring to is, you know, really looking at where is the best place for that renewable energy generation system to be installed. A solar panel under a tree is not the greatest place for that. If you can put that in another place and maybe connect that with a campus electrical system or connect it via the local utility grid, that's a great way to do it. So context is really crucial as we think about electrification, not just at the building system scale, the individual building scale, but really the entire community.
Now, I understand HGA is doing more than talking the talk. It's also walking the walk. Can you tell us a little bit more about HGA's commitment to beneficial electrification and some of the project the firm has worked on in this vein?
Sure. HGA is firmly committed to environmental stewardship and creating a future that supports the needs of not only today, but of future generations. And so beneficial electrification is something that we strongly support. We have many examples of where we take this expertise and our understanding of what beneficial electrification can do and help guide our clients and other organizations about whether that's right for them. A great recent example is the City of St. Louis Park, who has got some strong goals for reducing their carbon footprint and promoting environmental and sustainable design. And for a project we worked with them with their new Westwood Hills Nature Center, they were interested in establishing a project that was net zero from an annual energy use. But as part of that, we talked to them about the benefits of whole building electrification and beneficial electrification. So in addition to being a truly net zero project, we identified that the fossil fuel free portion of the project was really important to them and advanced those goals. But this is not just something that we are bringing to the industry. There's many organizations that are investigating the benefits of this and making this a part of their mission statement. We do a lot of work with higher education institutions throughout the nation, and we're seeing really strong interest in fossil fuel free and beneficial electrification in a variety of locations. Some of our recent work with the LA Community College District there along the West Coast is about really electrifying buildings and taking advantage of the renewable energy that is being implemented on the grid scale and on the campus scale.
And I'll just expand upon that a little bit more too, because the LA Community College District just passed a resolution last year, shortly after we started a central plant expansion project with them. And we knew there were ambitious goals for carbon reduction and energy efficiency. But when this resolution came out, it really did open our eyes and adjusted some project goals for the campus at East Los Angeles College. So for that college, we were able to adjust the design and find a great solution that allowed us to embrace heat recovery, include more efficient central plant equipment, and very much accelerate that campus towards their path to electrification to be able to eventually eliminate all fossil fuel-based energy sources by 2040. So these policies at a system level, yes, sometimes they seem like they'll take some time to really have a big impact. This is one very tangible example that HGA has embraced on a project right away, and it changed the design for the project. That construction is going on right now. So it really is an example of how board level, executive level policies can make an immediate difference, even if that end target date is something that is seemingly far away, like 2030, 2040, 2050.
Well, electrification is certainly a sweeping trend and it's only picking up steam. What steps can or should organizations take to further embrace this energy transition?
I think the first and foremost is recognizing the commitment to it and then getting educated about it. That's something that we've been investing in for quite some time. Our understanding of these technologies, we are quite adept at and understanding and implementing renewable energy systems at building level, at a campus level, and even on the municipal level with some of our central utility plant work as well. Understanding other technologies such as ground source heat pump systems, or more commonly known as geothermal. And it's again a commitment to executing that work for several years, we find to be really beneficial. Understanding how organizations are set up in terms of not only operating costs, how they are managed with their facility group, and then what is important to the overall mission for their users, the people that they interact with, we think is really important. And aligning all of those things together takes some skill and some expertise that we encourage a lot of people to get behind. I think at some level, entry level, beneficial electrification, some may see it as a fad, which is not, it is not. It is here, it is real. When you see organizations and companies such as Ford rolling out a whole new line of electric vehicles, and that's part of how they will be successful in the future, it is here to stay.
Yeah, one of the big trends we see is the impact that the electric utilities are having on the grid. And that's something that, you know, the average consumer doesn't really care about. The visibility isn't there. But as we look at the energy profile for a new building, how that new building is going to consume energy for the next 30, 40, 50 plus years, we need to acknowledge that that profile is changing very rapidly. And in the article, we highlight that just within the last 10 years, that has very much changed our approach to analyzing whether heating sources should be based solely on natural gas or the viability of technologies like heat pump, like heat recovery. So we're looking at that for new buildings, but you know, it's not limited to new building projects. So I think the other big opportunity out there, and we're seeing this, is working with clients to retrofit existing facilities. Energy audits have been around for a long time. Energy assessments of existing facilities to be able to truly understand where energy consumption is happening within the building, but also understand where those heat sources are. Wherever there is energy consumption, there is a heat source that could possibly be recovered and reused, then supplemented by heat pump solutions that can generate heat using electrification as a guiding principle. So this is happening. We're doing that at another project locally here with City of Edina in Minnesota as they embrace their own emissions reduction planning for 2050 planning. But there's a lot that can happen now. Again, it depends on what the local utility is doing. So I think context is important, understanding what your emissions profile looks like and working with the utility, whether that's Xcel Energy or others, to understand what the emissions rates are now and projected to be in 10, 15, 20 years.
Guys, we've talked about quite a bit here, but I get the feeling this is a subject you guys could talk about for a long, long time. Any final thoughts or any advice you'd like to share with those who are still tuning in with us?
You know, I think I'd go back to get to know your grid. So contact your utility, dive into some of those utility, you know, state mandated reports with public utilities commissions. Maybe your utility isn't publicizing it on a website like some other utilities are really leading the way and showing what their emissions targets are for the near term. But understand what those are and layer that in to your engineering analysis and your organization's sustainability goals. There is a long way that the utility can drive your emissions down just based on the utility's own decarbonization strategies. And then go back to the basics, understand where your energy consumption is in your building, understand how you can affect that. The most efficient way to reduce emissions is to not consume the energy to start with. So let's do that first, and then let's look at how we can pursue beneficial electrification strategies.
I think Peter did a great job hitting on that. I think it requires education and an open mind. Embrace new technologies, embrace innovations, and do the research. Because it's, again, I'll repeat it, electrification is here to stay. And so it requires some new thinking. It requires some new research about how we primarily heat our buildings, but just how we primarily condition and serve our buildings.
Well, fantastic. Peter and Leighton, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you taking the time to share your expertise. And if you haven't read their article, Plugged In, New Horizons for Beneficial Electrification in Higher Education, check out the June issue of Engineered Systems Magazine at www.esmagazine.com. Gentlemen, take care. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Leighton Deer and Peter Dahl. And to learn more about HGA, visit hga.com. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on Spotify. Show your support of industry journalism by rating and reviewing this podcast. Doing so will help us reach a much broader audience. Also, please subscribe or bookmark us so that you can enjoy all of our past and future episodes. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a Swift Kick. We'll see you next time.